Any other questions about this case, Yan, or any other points you want to make?
So another thing is, you know, her PD-L1 was zero. It's very, you know, at the time, because she had only one lesion, that's why we felt like, of course, I thought it would be a lighter treatment, gave her heart failure, but so that's why we did not want to, I thought it was a good thing to use immune therapy because we do think immune therapy can work slow and she got plenty of time to wait. So, I mean, Liara, in your practice, patient with 0% PD-L1, I guess they still could potentially respond.
Yeah, and we saw that. So it's interesting that you were able to get pembrolizumab because in the FDA label, they've got to be greater than 1% to get the drug. But the trials with atezolizumab and nivolumab enrolled patients regardless of PD-L1 score. And what we saw was that it depended. So for example, in the CheckMate 017 study in the squamous patients, PD-L1 didn't appear to predict for response. Whereas in the CheckMate 057 with the non-squamous, you saw incremental increase in response in the patients who are PD-L1 greater than 1%. But we did see responses, although they were lower in the PD-L1 0%. And I think it just points to that imperfect biomarker. You know, if you're zero, you've got a 10% chance of responding. If you're greater than 1%, you've got a 30% response, right? Very different from the RET patient if they're 0% response versus a 70% response. So it's just not a great discriminator. And so I still would use a single agent checkpoint inhibitor. It's changed a little now, right? Because upfront from KEYNOTE 189 and 407, we're giving platinum pick your doublet with pembro in the less than 50% patients. So that includes the 0% patients. Although in 189, there was no PFS benefit in those patients. So I don't think we really know what to do while this biomarker continues to plague everybody.